Welcome to Hero Hype, episode 9. This is a superhero podcast from Hyperbole.com. We are so excited. We have a really great show coming up. We are going to be giving you a brief history of Captain Marvel. We have comic book suggestions about She-Hulk. And we're going to have a pretty TV-themed episode today while we talk about what's been going on Arrow and The Flash. And, of course, the finale of Agent Carter and what's coming up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So exciting. I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And let's jump into it. We have so much to talk about. Not really in terms of news, but there's been so much going on TV in the last couple weeks. Remember, you can get in touch with us if you want to let us know what you've been watching and enjoying on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. A lot of you have been doing that. We are really enjoying. Some of you have been live tweeting at us as you watch the episodes. I enjoy that a lot. That is a lot of fun. So definitely continue on with that. And, you know, we're also taking suggestions for our Hero Hype rewatch. Danya's already done terrible Wolverine Origins. So we can't stoop much lower than that. So if there's another movie or TV show or something superhero related that you'd like us to do for that, let us know. We have a couple suggestions and we will get to them later in the show.
Yeah. Listen, there is no suggestion that that's not ridiculous enough that I would watch it, because I recently rewatched the Power Rangers movie, the original Power Rangers movie, earlier this week. And so I will watch anything, absolutely anything, from awesome to ridiculous. So anything goes, guys, seriously.
There's high standards here in Hero Hype.
Super high.
Super classic.
Yeah, no.
All right, let's talk about some TV that we've been watching. First of all, I guess Agent Carter. We've had the season finale that aired this week. It's a sad time. We kind of started just when that was all kicking in. That's when Hero Hype, you know, just started up, and I don't know what we're going to do quite without it, but we'll struggle on, see how we go. What did you think of the finale and the season as a whole? Okay,
good. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. But then I've loved all of Agent Carter. I think in its favor, that what it had going for it was that it was really condensed down. It helped with the storyline a lot, I think. So yeah, it just didn't give you a chance to kind of come down too much. It was all go all the time, so there was always something happening, and it was all building up to this amazing crescendo, and just so good. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, so you're happy with how everything wrapped up so far? I mean, you know, we don't know yet if we're going to get a season 2, so this could be it for Agent Carter.
I refuse to believe that this is it for Agent Carter. I will be stubborn. I refuse to think that this is the end. I think it was a very solid first season, but we need so much more of her, and we deserve so much more of her. The world needs more Peggy Carter.
Yeah, I really enjoyed sort of how this focused on a fairly, it was fairly subtle, I think, arc for her in terms of dealing with her grief and all of that. I would be interested in seeing her being a full independent woman, in the words of Destiny's Child, going ahead. And if someone wants to make that mashup video with that song and Agent Carter, that would be great also. Just submitting that to the internet in case someone decides to take me up on that. But I did have one issue with this, and that was, I understand that it's a plot device, but why on earth would you put two terrible, Nazi, Soviet, whatever? Why do you give these guys roommates? That's my question.
I don't...
They're going to go on to become the Starsky and Hutch of season 2. I see that that's what's going on here. But yes, okay, it's a plot device. But why would you do that? At least put them in neighboring cells or something.
Yeah.
And then they can communicate by passing notes to each other underneath the wall or something like that. It's just...
Using Morse code or something, tapping on the walls or something. That would have been pretty... That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, be really patient with your communication. But it would have been a nice payoff from what we saw earlier in the series. That just bothered me a lot for irrational reasons.
Yeah, they did a similar thing on Teen Wolf, at the end of the last season, they put one of the more villainous characters into a cell with another villainous character, which is clearly going to work out well for everyone involved in the next season. So it's kind of not isolated to this show. It's a thing that goes across multiple shows. It's like, we've got bad guy number one and bad guy number two. What could ever possibly go wrong if we put them in a room together?
Yeah, I know. It's like they're making villain buddy cop movies. We get it. Just, I don't know. I can't deal with it. It just really bothers me for some reason. What I did like about the finale was, might seem odd, but there's a moment towards the end where Thompson is getting the commendation and he takes all the credit for it. He doesn't say, oh, actually, you know, it wasn't me, it was Agent Carter. And I loved that because I was really concerned they were going to, like, redeem him into this, oh, I saw the error of my ways and now I'm a stand-up nice guy and et cetera, et cetera. And I like that, no, still a jackass, like still a jerk taking credit for things that he shouldn't be or he hasn't done or et cetera. So
yeah,
that
I
was
really
a nice
like
thing.
That. Yeah, I really like that as well because I think in the course of like season one, there hasn't been enough room for him to grow into that place if he was ever going to get there. So I think that was a really good character continuity because that one episode where they go on a field trip together, that's not like one episode's worth of content and seeing something like that is not enough to change a lifetime of ingrained kind of you know, stereotypes and the way you view like either a sex or people. So it's very, very difficult and it would take a long time for him to change that completely. So it was nice to see that they weren't brushing that to one side. So no, I agree with that. I thought it was really, really cool. That obviously not cool for Peggy, but really, really cool to see that as a continuing character trait. The one thing that kind of like made me go, wait, what? Was when Peggy's like talking down Howard and she's all like, oh, I know that you love Steve and I love Steve. And I was like, well, wait, what direction are we going with this? Was that? Because I'd always kind of, through like even the Captain America, the First Avenger, had always kind of in the background in my head had kind of read Howard as bisexual. I don't, like, it was just, like, little bits and pieces of the character, like, going through the entire movie that made me kind of go, you know what, I'm kind of reading it that way. Maybe it's, like, really subtle, but, you know, that moment in there made me go, wait, are they addressing it? Did they mean love as in love? Are we actually getting, like, serious hints that Howard Stark is on that spectrum? Because that would be super cool. I'm choosing to read it that way. I don't know about you.
I don't know. This might seem, I guess, somewhat like incongruous with things I've said on the podcast before, but I am not a big fan of, I guess, like headcanon. So I obviously we've talked a lot about like diversity and representation and things on the show before, and I know there are a lot of people who, when they consume media, like they read into it a certain way, or they go like, well, you know, we quite rightly, we shouldn't assume people are like straight or, you know, whatever, just because they haven't been presented as otherwise. But because that is the predominant way that in terms of sexuality, that characters are presented, like I tend to assume, unless it's pointed out otherwise, because not because I think it should be, but because that seems to be what we get. And for me, I didn't see that as, like, I have seen a lot of people talking about, oh, you know, he loved him, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's great. I do see what you're saying in terms of, like, the sort of maybe undertones or, like, connotations in the film that he was bisexual. I think you could definitely read his character that way. But for me, I didn't think it was, like, an especially overt or like even a subtle reference to that. I really thought it was more about the fact that Howard felt like he hadn't done anything good with his life, and like Steve was, you know, this one kind of shining redemption moment for him. And, he loved him not in a romantic or sexual way, but in that way of like Steve embodying all the things that Howard wanted to be or, wished that he could be, in terms of his work, not in terms of like wanting to be a Captain America. So that's how I read it, but hey, if they're taking it in that direction, like that's great. That's fantastic. We 100% need more bisexual representation on TV, and I feel like we often forget about that when we're talking about LGBTQ representation. So that would be great, but I can't say I found it particularly like indicative of that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be really interesting if they did decide to like make it, if that is the direction that they were thinking of going. And obviously it was kind of one of those ones where I was like, usually I keep that stuff in my head. They're my readings of media and not necessarily everyone else's. Like they're little bits that kind of almost enhance the story for me in my own head without it kind of like being, like you said, overtly stated one way or the other. But I kind of was just like sitting there going, is that a direction they could take it in? Is that something that they could do? Because in my head I'd kind of thought that would be really cool. I like to read it that way, but would they ever do it? Probably not. But it kind of like is that little spark of hope of what they could actually do it, which, for me would be super awesome because I like reading Howard that way, but that's obviously my personal opinion.
Yeah, I think I could definitely see the character that way. I think that would be great. But like for me, I want them to say like, and I'm bisexual. And next part of my character, like moving on, it needs to be a
Yeah.
like a statement.
I
So.
mean, it wouldn't even have to necessarily be said. I think I've mentioned this in the way that like they could make it have made it known on Constantine as well, that he doesn't necessarily have to go, "Hi, I'm a bisexual," kind of thing. You could like cut to a scene where he's literally getting out of bed and there's another guy in the bed, and then he goes on and it's kind of that the same way that we see with Tony in the Iron Man movies, where he's like kicking someone out, or not even him necessarily kicking someone out of bed, but getting someone else to do it for him. You could play it up in a scene like that, because that would really work. But I've said the same for how they could have done it with Constantine as well, like doing that sort of thing to introduce it, which would be really cool, because it's kind of like, well, this is just a thing. It's just something that happens. That's it. Not the be all and end all of the character, but it is part of them, which I think I'd really like something like that.
Yeah, sorry, I don't mean to say like he doesn't need to go to a bisexual, meeting and say like I'm Howard Stark and I'm a bisexual. I didn't
Oh
but if they're gonna do it, they have to do it, because they have a responsibility to, if that's the direction they're taking the character, and I think
Yeah.
sure they should 100% do that. They have a responsibility to make it clear that that is what is happening, because
Yeah.
otherwise it's not representation. So that's what I mean. Like it has to be
Yeah.
a very, very clear statement in some way, not necessarily verbal,
Just
but as you said, like visual or whatever else. Okay, so Agent Carter, big thumbs up from us. Please come back. We don't know yet if there's going to be a season two. They're talking about it. The ratings are not amazing for Agent Carter, but the ratings aren't amazing for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And they seem fairly committed to that. So maybe this will be an ongoing kind of filler for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. mid-season break. I think that's what everyone is hoping for.
I'm definitely hoping.
Yeah, and there was a really great Michal, who has come on Hero Hype as a guest host in the past, wrote this really great rhyming request for an Agent Carter season two. So you can read that on Hypeable. That's a lot of fun. And if you want a season two, you need to make it clear. So there's a big campaign going on online at the moment. And hopefully we will be able to bring you news of Renew Agent Carter very soon. But until then, we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back. Very exciting. I feel like a lot of us forgot about that because we got so excited about Agent Carter, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the show that we've actually been watching. We've had a couple previews for it. Did you see this Inhuman promo that just came out?
Yeah, I did. I'm so excited. Like, I'm kind of really sad that Agent Carter's done, but I'm so excited to like see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. come back because I'm just like, I want to see what's happening with Sky. I really, really want to know what's going on next. And kind of how the team reacts to it as well, because there's some really, really like interesting imagery from like in the little promo that we got, where she's like in a room, like kind of like, and it's all shaking and cracking around her, and it's like, oh my God, what the hell, what's going on? I just want to know what they're going to do with her.
Yeah, I think what people are most excited about in terms of that promo, which is the second one that we've seen for the mid-season return, is that she straight up says, like, Inhuman, which is the first time it's been said, by an actual character, not just by, like, one of the creative team. So that's very exciting. But then, yeah, as you said, there is this, like, kind of weird imagery because she's in this room by herself and she's talking about, oh, there's something inside of me and I can't let it out, and she seems sort of not even abandoned but like locked away from the others. So people are wondering if that's going to be represented in the show. Like, is that how her friends and colleagues and etc. are going to be reacting to her? We don't know. Would find that very weird if that's the direction they took this in, honestly. Like, at this point, this group have seen so much shit. So much stuff. If they get to the point where they're like, oh no, we're just gonna lock Sky up. Like, I feel like that's a good response to this situation. I don't know if I buy it. So, we'll see how it goes. We also saw some photos from the episode, and Mac's in them, so people are excited about that.
Yay.
And everyone else is looking pretty great. A little beat up, but good. So that's exciting. I am gonna miss Agent Carter. I really enjoyed that show. I just, I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a lot, but. And we've talked about it before, it has improved a lot. It's gotten a lot better than it was. But Agent Carter was just so fun and so great, and I enjoyed it so much more. And I know that's easy to say when you only have 8 episodes to deal with, because you miss it, and they're able to kind of pack in a lot more. And it has the whole like period thing going for it, and so it has like the great costumes and the great music, and I'm totally wearing my Peggy Carter nail polish as we speak.
Join the club.
Yeah.
Me too. I put
Oh.
it on specifically for this because we were going
I
to be talking Agent Carter.
Well, that's adorable. I did not. I'm not wearing the lipstick either, but that's because it's about 6 in the morning, so as much as I love hero hype, it's a little too early for me. But anyway, so we'll obviously have a lot to talk about when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back, and I think a lot of our answers about sort of the direction that it's going to be going in will be answered, and then I'm sure also a lot more questions will be raised as far as what's going to happen there. But that's back next week, so good times.
The one, the two kind of stills that we got that kind of stood out to me was in the news report that came out, Coulson's hugging someone. Turns out that's Tripp's mother. So that's gonna be really emotional, guys. That's gonna be great to have. Coulson obviously, I guess, is going to be telling Tripp's mother that her son is no longer with us.
Well,
Oh
maybe
man.
not. Maybe he's just gonna dress up as Trip and like run around and
Oh my
just
God.
change his voice so that he looks like and sounds like him, and just pretend that it's fine so that then when he finally does tell Trip's mom, she descends into an alcoholic spiral and destroys their entire relationship to that point.
Oh
Oh
my
no,
God.
that's a different show. My mistake. I think Coulson's telling Trip's mom. I think you're correct. Good guess.
Oh man, I don't think I'm ready for that.
All right. Speaking of, let's talk about Arrow and Flash. They're both on break now as well. So they have like a month off each. We had a new episode of Arrow this week. The Flash break started last week. So they're a week out of sync, but you know, they'll be back at it in March. So, you know, I guess the Flash mid-season finale, it kind of wrapped some things up in terms of like Firestorm and what's going on with that. Arrow had a lot of questions. Arrow left a lot more questions. So let's talk about Flash first. Anything of note that stands out to you in terms of like where that is going now?
I mean, there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on with the Flash. Like, we know, obviously, the time travel stuff is coming up, but there's so much that's, like, in the back of everyone's heads. I mean, especially after, like, the reveal that the blood on the wall was Barry's, but not, like, young Barry's. And it's like, oh my god. It's kind of like so cool, because it's like come out with like people with these theories, like is Harrison Wells Barry when he's older, who's time traveled and managed to get himself trapped in the past, and he's like aging up slowly, like kind of like to catch up to the point where he did go back in time and that kind of stuff. And it's like, oh man, there's some really interesting theories floating around that I love reading. I don't know which one of them's going to turn out to be true, but it's, like, super interesting to read. And we know that this time travel aspect is going to have, like, huge repercussions on, like, the whole Flash universe kind of thing. But I'm really enjoying it, because every week I'm just, like, there going, no, I need the next episode, like, immediately. Please. What's this waiting a whole week for another episode? What nonsense is this?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the time travel stuff, but I need them to throw like a huge curveball, and I'm sure they will, because you know it seems like they're revealing things, but they're not revealing things. The reveal of Barry's blood being on the wall, I feel like the only person surprised by that was Barry. Definitely not any of the viewers of the show, or I certainly wasn't. I think that was a pretty commonly held assumption that he was other person. So, you know, and then they have Wells showing up as the Reverse Flash and all of this stuff going on. So, yeah, I need a big curveball in terms of that. And I'm sure they've planned it out so that there will be. But, you know, it kind of detracts a little bit from the watching experience when you feel like, oh, I knew all this already. You know what I mean? Even though, you know, I'm anticipating at some point they're going to really surprise me and it's going to be really exciting. But currently, they're not surprising me. And so it's a little tedious. But, you know, I am still enjoying The Flash. It's a good time. I think I just want them to sort of get on with that time travel storyline a little bit more now that they've started introducing it properly and just really commit to it. In terms of Arrow, the big reveal, have you watched the new episode of Arrow?
I did. I just managed to squeeze it in before recording. I managed to watch some of it like on my lunch break at work today. I'm like there trying to like fit it in. Oh man, I got very sick last week, so I kind of fell behind. So I've been having to like really try and catch up on everything. But it did mean I got to watch a lot of stuff in one massive go. So
I just watched it right before we started recording, the new Arrow, and I have so many thoughts on this, but first of all, I need to talk about the amazingness that was last week's episode and how exciting it was to finally have the Queen Dream Team, and I have been waiting 3 seasons to make that joke, so I'm glad I can finally do that. And also to see Ollie on the island without his terrible wig. I really appreciated that. And, yeah, in terms of, like, all of that, I mean, apart from the fact that I really hate Slade Wilson with a passion because, and I honestly think it's because he's Australian. Like, if he was not Australian, I don't think it would bother me so much that he's so, he's just the worst villain. Like, I think I wrote on the Hero Hype Twitter, you know, my new Arrow drinking game whenever Slade's in an episode is, like, drink every time Slade blames every problem in his life on the fact that a girl that he loved that wasn't even in love with him was murdered. Like, Okay, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing that happened to you. I'm really sorry for that. But like, dude, you need to calm down. You are crazy. And I think the accent just makes it worse for me. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just racist against Australians, obviously, but God, I hate him so much.
Your hatred of Slade, it gives me life because it just makes every single time he comes on the screen infinitely more hilarious for me. So I'm like there going, oh, it's Slade. Uh-oh. I'm just gonna wait for all of the messages from Marima being like, what the hell? What's even with this guy?
Yeah, well, here, hype listeners can now imagine that every time there's one Australian yelling on their TV, there's another Australian yelling in her apartment about that Australian on the TV, just like in anger and frustration, giving all Australians a bad name. I prefer the, I don't know, just go away. Anyway, so apart from that, this episode, I guess the big surprise was, hey, Oliver. You've messed up everything. Come be in charge of something. I'm really glad that that turned out to be a trap because if not, I was like, not really the League of Assassins, more like the League of like fairly dispensable people who are bad at their jobs. Like, I mean, I guess they keep talking about, oh, the training is so intensive and you have to do it for so long and it takes such a long time to like hone your craft and stuff. I mean, they must have a long waiting list because obviously there was no problem in, oh yeah, we've got this trap set, but don't worry, just send out these like 20 people to all be killed as part of this elaborate trap to get Oliver Queen in here. That seemed slightly odd to me, but I mean, who knows? Maybe the waiting list is long and they needed to open up some spots. So, fine, great. What do you think? Oliver Queen as the next Ra's al Ghul. That's he keeps going on about how old he is, so I guess he's feeling slightly nostalgic and I don't know. What did you yeah.
I think Oliver needs to take charge of his own life before he takes charge of an entire league of other people's lives. Like, seriously, I love Oliver, I do, but sometimes he's a little bit of an idiot. So I don't like I kind of don't like the idea of him taking up leadership of the League of Assassins. Like, it doesn't. For me, it just doesn't like mesh at all. It's kind of one of those things where I'm like, wait, what? You're gonna give power to this guy? Seriously? Oh, just give it to Felicity and Diggle. They'll do much better stuff with it.
Yeah, and we had a question actually in the comments of our last episode from someone who was asking us what we meant when we said like Oliver is like a has a lot of privilege and like is sort of one of these like white privileged characters. And this is the entire like point of this, which is Nissa is this insanely qualified, amazing assassin. Also, PS, I really liked how they made Nissa just beat Merlin immediately in that fight. But then how did Oliver beat her? Because Merlin can beat Oliver. So that made no sense to me, unless she, was like, that's fine, I'll go with them and then whatever, tell Oliver where the place is and then he'll die and I'll be super cheerful about it. But that aside, this whole idea of, oh no, let's bypass this, woman who is obviously the most qualified person for the job. Literally has been training her entire life for this moment and give it to this other dude who like runs around in a mask in his city. Also the ratio of vigilantes to like non-vigilantes in that city is becoming slightly alarming, I have to say. Especially as we got Ray, like we'll get to that in a second. Oh,
Oh,
Iron Manning it up around. But yeah, this whole thing, this episode was fairly representative of my major problem with Oliver's character, which is he really spends the whole episode trying to, well, deciding that a decision that one of the female characters has made for themselves is the wrong decision, and that takes it upon himself to fix it with, general disregard for their own ability to like make decisions and their own agency and etc. Not saying he doesn't have a point about, you know, maybe don't kill your dad, but maybe do kill your dad if your dad's Malcolm Merlyn. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, consider consider all possibilities. But, you know, we see this a lot, and we've seen it a lot this season in particular, I think, with him, you know, trying to tell Laurel what to do and trying to tell Theo what to do and trying to tell Felicity. And, you know, the only person he listens to in this episode, the only person who listens to calling him out is Diggle. He doesn't listen to any of the amazing women who are saying the exact same thing, being like, why are you doing this? This is not a good idea. Until, like, his bro says it. And then he's like, wow, that is so insightful. No, literally no one has ever said that to me. And it's like, we just watched an entire episode of everyone saying that to you, Ollie. Like,
yeah.
Get it together. But, you know, that's really the problem that I find with Oliver. And, you know, I don't know, maybe the writers are aware of that and this is their way of addressing that. And, you know, we'll see this being about Oliver realizing like he's not worthy to take this over, and Nyssa should really be the next head. Who knows? But yeah, their track record in terms of women is a little sketchy. And sometimes I don't know if they are really great or if they're just really lucky.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the thing with Oliver and his privilege is that you can't get away from it. This is the thing. Is the way that he was brought up, it's inherent in his character. It's a part of him. It's a very difficult thing for him to shake. Sure, his time on the island really, really changed him as a person, but in his interactions with other people, you know, he was fairly isolated in terms of like a general population. You know, he was more in the kind of mindset of survive rather than anything else. So, you know, that privilege that he grew up with is still kind of there. And you see it in stuff like how he kind of doesn't think about things in the way that other people would. Like when he sends Diggle off to get, you remember when Diggle went off to get the drugs at one point to go get Vertigo? It was Vertigo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's always Vertigo.
Yeah, and then when Diggle comes back and he's like, now that you've got the black guy to get your drugs for you, and you see on his face that Oliver just doesn't even like consider that in a way that he's kind of like, oh wait, that was kind of a shitty thing to do almost. Like, he's like, oh, I didn't even think of it in that way, because, you know, for me it would just be like, walk in, whatever, I'm done, it's just drugs, whatever. But it's kind of like, you know, you do realize the stereotype you're perpetuating here, right, Oliver? Like, this is the privilege you've grown up with, and you don't understand what asking maybe someone else to do this means. Like, it's really, really fascinating if you look at it. And I think that this is something that the writers do address, because they have other characters call him out on it. And I think that's so important, because characters continuously and accurately calling him out all the time is only ever going to improve Oliver as a character. And ignoring this sort of stuff isn't going to do anything except make people accept that white privilege is something that's okay, and not question things that they're asking other people to do or things that they think is the right thing to do. But you know what? Actually, no. Other people have the choice to make, like, their own decisions about their own lives. Whether that is the right decision or not, it's important because it's their decision. You know, just because you've appointed yourself as this leader doesn't mean that every single time you are right and you get to call all the shots, kind of thing.
Right. So, I mean, I agree and I don't, because I don't feel like, I think he's called out on it, but he dismisses it most of the time.
Yeah.
And it's not told in the framework of the writers being like, but he's wrong about that. He should be taking on these suggestions. Because, you know, the show is very much, as the name indicates, like, it's very much Oliver's show. He's the hero. He's the one we are invested in. That's fine. I'm not saying, it actually bothers me when they sort of divert too much away from him, because he's the character that I've really invested in. And obviously I enjoy the supporting characters, but, you know, there are so many of them now that it does sometimes bother me. It does bother me a little bit sometimes when it's like, well, but I'm really watching this because I find Oliver a really interesting character and, you know, I enjoy all the others, but, you know, it's his story that I am invested in. But I don't feel like the writers do a good enough job of calling him out on it, of making it obvious that when he doesn't think about those things or when he doesn't like take on those criticisms from the other characters, that he's in the wrong for doing that, you know? So that's what I would like to see more of is, hey, you know, just because Oliver says something doesn't mean that's what the writers think or that's what the showrunners think. That's a very tricky area to be like, oh, this character says something, so the creator must think the exact same thing. No, the character thinks that thing. But the show can do a better job of showing, hey, Oliver is this white, attractive, rich dude, and he has basically every form of privilege that you can have, but they kind of make his upbringing and all of that about, oh, I was so sad because I, you know, wasn't being the person I could be, and like this tortured playboy, rich boy, sadness, whatever thing, that doesn't interest me at all in the slightest.
The and, only person who's richer and more privileged than Oliver Queen is Bruce Wayne.
Right, and dude dresses up like a bat, so, you know, enough said. All right, so obviously there's a lot to think about before those shows come back. Let's do a quick check-in with Gotham. Are you still watching Gotham?
I have taken a little bit of a break from Gotham, if I'm being honest. I think I'm going to let a couple more episodes pile up, and then I'm going to come back to it, and I'm going to watch a few in a row, because at the moment I'm finding it really difficult to muster up enough kind of investment in it and in the characters. It's really, really not grabbing me the way that I was hoping it would. I'm definitely coming back to it, but I'm waiting for a couple more episodes to come out, and I'm just going to watch a load in one go to see if that helps in terms of like the way that they're telling their story. If just being able to watch it one after the other might make it a slightly more coherent and interesting story for me, rather than kind of every episode being like, why am I still watching this? It feels like such a drag. It's disjointed. Nothing's matching up. I'm kind of hoping that watching a few episodes in one go will improve it for me.
Yeah, well, the ratings are still insane. And as we know, it's already been renewed for season 2. So it's not going anywhere and someone must be enjoying it. Well, you can report back after you've done that. Okay, whoa, we had so many thoughts about TV. Let's do a little bit of other news quickly. Lucifer is coming to TV. This is going to be a Fox TV show, maybe. This is this whole, like, battle, I guess, between, like, DC and Marvel TV. Now that, like, they've sort of staked their claim in the movie world, now we're seeing it translate to television. I feel like only a good thing. What do you think about this?
I will admit to not being as familiar with Lucifer, so I'm interested to check it out, because it's kind of moving in the kind of realms of the Constantine-esque kind of area, because it's kind of like more occult kind of thing. And I really, really like that in DC Comics, when they go, like, proper occult and kind of, like, supernatural-esque, that's when they get really interesting for me. Like, I'm really into, like, Justice League Dark and that sort of stuff. But I never really got into Lucifer. I'd always meant to, because it was right up my street in terms of the direction in DC that I usually go for. But I never picked it up. There was always something else that I wanted to read more. Now that it's coming to TV, it's definitely something that I'm going to bump to the top of the list to check out. Because, yeah, it'll be interesting, I think.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with Lucifer either, I have to say. But you are right. That is a very cool kind of take that DC have in terms of this particular area. So that could be fun. I guess my only hesitation is it's going to be a crime procedural, and he's kind of the typical like anti-hero character. I feel like we may have seen a show or two that's similar to that.
Yeah.
So, they're obviously onto a good thing and they're going to try and I guess keep going with that. So, props to them. We will be keeping tabs on this as it, develops. And maybe that will include a slightly more original angle on it, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. 'Cause I think kind of making Constantine a procedural kind of show, that's where it fell down slightly for me, because Constantine at its essence isn't that procedural. There's a lot of story arcs that kind of play over and under, like the typical villain or demon of the week sort of thing. But a lot of the stuff with Constantine in the comics is more about the people that he goes to save and help out rather than about him. So it kind of like the way the stories are usually structured is that you see these strange things happening to these people, they try and investigate it, get caught up in everything, and then Constantine kind of sweeps in and is like, "What up? I'm gonna go and do this thing, and it's really weird." And everyone's like, "Whoa, who are you? What's going on?" And it kind of gets swept up in that, while like another story arc plays over the top of it. And it's always really, really interesting and kind of like it's really, really massive scope with Constantine, and they really just watered it down into this is the demon of the week, this is the mystery, we're going off to solve this mystery, which really isn't what he was ever about. So I think that kind of worked against it a little bit. And I'm hoping that if that gets picked up for season two, that they'll kind of see where their strengths were in terms of the main storyline that kind of played over the whole thing, the Rising Darkness stuff. That stuff was really super interesting. They should have played that stuff up more and more on like kind of having Constantine more as the main thread through the whole thing and having people jump in and out more. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of a little worried if Lucifer's going to try and go down the same way, because Constantine's ratings weren't amazing. It was in like a really bad slot, but we've seen this kind of thing not do so well already. And like you said, there's a lot of other stuff out there that plays up this kind of procedural aspect, and it's like you can do so many more interesting things with it. So I'm hoping they kind of change it up a little bit to kind of set it apart.
Yeah, well, arguably Gotham has that sort of procedural aspect to it as well, and
Yeah.
that's worked out really well for them. I mean, it's kind of half procedural, half serialized.
Yeah.
So, I think that's kind of what they're tapping into. Okay, a little bit of Supergirl news. Well, a little bits of Supergirl news, I should say. We have some casting news. So, Calista Flockhart is joining the series as a regular. From Ally McBeal. I don't know what Brothers and Sisters is. Apparently, she's from that as well. Everyone in the entire universe knows Ally McBeal, though.
Yes.
So she's going to be playing Cat Grant, who is a self-made media magnate and founder of CatCo, which is a great name. I'm very pleased. And Kara will be playing her assistant. So that's exciting. And also, that's where Jimmy is working as a photographer. And then also, more casting news, Laura Benanti has been added as Kara's birth mother. And what makes me so excited about this is, if you guys are not aware, Laura Benanti is a Tony Award-winning stage actress and singer, and she's been in TV as well. But obviously, as we know, Melissa Benoist, I'm really gonna have to learn how to say her name, is a singer fresh from Glee. So can we like have a musical episode or something, because that would be
Oh
super
my
great.
God.
Yeah, and maybe that like we got a little hint of the music in The Flash, but like I mean you've got a Tony Award winning actress in your show now, so just give me a little something for that. And then finally, Melissa gave an interview recently where she was talking about how she enjoys how relatable the character is. And you know, I feel like yes, definitely. So that's good. I like this interview actually. She kind of seems like she has a good feel for the character. So that's encouraging. And
Yeah, I mean, I really like Melissa Benoist. I think she's really cool as an actress. I think the kind of downfall with Glee was that sometimes she wasn't given the best material to work with, so we didn't really get to see what she was capable of. But I think Supergirl's going to be great for her because she's really going to be able to showcase her acting skills. And I think obviously she got cast in this role, they've definitely seen something in her that kind of made her right for this role. So it's going to be really nice to see like what she does with it, because that interview is kind of what made me go, oh, amazing. She really cares about this character. She cares about how she's going to be portraying her and everything. So I was like, yes, this is great. This is what we need. We need people who really deeply care about their characters like that, because it just gives that whole other level to their acting as well, because they'll always put in like sub levels of how they'll play a scene if they care that much about the character. So I always really enjoy that when you get to see when they're really into what they're doing. So, yeah.
All right, it's going to be good. That is it for TV news this week. We know that there was a lot, but we really want to talk about what was going on, especially with Agent Carter and Arrow and Flash now that they're going into their break. Obviously, we won't have really anything to say about them next time. But there isn't a lot of happening in the world of movies, so that's why we thought we'd spend a little more time on TV for this week. Before we do movie news, though, it's time for our A Brief History Of segment. This is when we read the comic book so that you don't have to. We give you a history of a particular character, everything you need to know so that you are up to date for any movie or TV show that they might be appearing in.
Everything about you just became so unbelievably clear.
And this week, as per requests for some ladies on these segments, we present a brief history of Captain Marvel. Take it away, Donya.
So, brought up in a conservative household, Carol was always interested in NASA and space. She wanted to become an astronaut, but her father wouldn't pay for her to go away to college. Instead, using the little money that they had to send her, send the middle child of the family away instead. She became a fighter pilot eventually, and after a long career as a former officer in the US Air Force and a former CIA agent, Carol Danvers was eventually hired as the head of security at NASA's headquarters due to her decorated history and capabilities. She eventually came to work alongside Dr. Philip Lawson, who was secretly a Kree super agent named Mar-Vell. When a dormant Kree sentry robot went berserk, Marvel defeated it and saved Carol's life in the process, but outed himself as an alien at the same time. The two embarked on a relationship, which became known by an enemy of Marvel's, Yon-Rogg. Yon-Rogg kidnapped Carol as bait to lure Marvel into a trap, and when he came to rescue her, Yon-Rogg deployed forbidden Kree technology called the Psych Magnetron in an attempt to destroy him. The Psych Magnetron exploded, and when Mar-Vell shielded Carol from the explosion, she absorbed his genetic template. Her strong desire to stand by Mar-Vell's side as an equal and refusal to become a victim completed the process, and her DNA was perfectly balanced between Kree and human. She adopted a costume based on Mar-Vell's own and originally took the name Miss Marvel. She established herself as a powerful superhero in her own right and eventually took over the mantle of Captain Marvel and has been operating under that ever since.
All right, everything you need to know. So now you'll be super prepared for when we finally see her in a movie. All right, not that we're bitter or anything.
No.
Let's do movie news now. Briefly, there's not a huge amount to talk about this
No.
week. There was an exciting report, kind of, that came out in the last few days that said Spider-Man won't be white, actually. And this was from The Wrap's Jeff Snyder. This goes against literally everything else that has been said about this project at this point. I mean, I feel like I need to make that very clear. All of the people involved with the Spider-Man movies and with, like, Marvel creative decisions and everything have said very firmly that we would never see Miles Morales in film. So, you know, all right. He clarified and said, white actors are still going out for Spider-Man, but their reps are telling me they think Sony is leaning, quote-unquote, ethnic. So, not necessarily African-American, but Latino, or just basically not white. That said, there was another report that said Sony wants either Dylan O'Brien or Logan Lerman for Spider-Man, two people that were on our casting list, two people who are not super diverse in appearance.
No.
But you know what? Like, not the first time that Sony has said something and done something else, and not the first time that weird rumors have circulated about Sony's decision-making. So, we'll see. It would obviously be amazing if they cast a non-white actor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, sorry, this is, like, me showing my own ignorance, but I don't think either of those actors have, like, you know, I don't want to, like, whitewash them or anything. I don't think they have... diverse backgrounds.
No, Dylan O'Brien comes from, I believe it's a more Irish family. I think, like, in his kind of history, there's, like, it's, like, more British-Irish kind of there. And on Logan Lerman's side, it's, he's Jewish, so
yeah.
It's...
Which, as we talked about, I think last time, would be really great. Yeah. Like, I would like to see that as part of the character. But, you know, like, minor point, but I don't know. Well, no, we'll talk about this another time. You know what? We'll talk about this another time. Like, diversity and I guess, like, what qualifies and et cetera in terms of racial diversity. That can be something interesting.
Yeah, because that could go
a long conversation.
For a while.
Yeah, that's a long conversation. You guys can ask us on Twitter if you're interested in, you know, whatever. Okay, we saw the first image of Aquaman. He looks great, I have to say. I'm so on board with this. Talk about diversity. What do you think?
Oh my god, I saw this image and I was like, wow. Because they are really going for it with this. Because someone like dissected the tattoos, and they're Polynesian tattoos, like they're traditional kind of ones. Based on, like his gauntlets are based on, like, shark teeth tattoos that are, like, really traditional. And it was just really, really interesting because they did this massive breakdown of the whole look, and they looked at every single tattoo that he had, and they all had, like, a place in, like, I think it was, like, Polynesian kind of culture. And I was just like, they've really put a lot of thought into this, and they kind of up the saturation of the image as well, because they kind of like have like really, really taken the saturation out of the image and made it really gritty looking and really kind of like almost grayscale. But they up the saturation a lot, and you can actually see the traditional, like the classic colors of the Aquaman costume when you up it, like the teal green and the kind of more orange color and the yellow on the kind of gauntlets that he's got. And that was really cool as well. They like literally just turned the saturation all the way back up. So it's nice to see that they're taking cues from it, but really, really kind of like making it fit in with the wider DC universe on screen, because there was no way that they were going to be able to make him in bright, bright colors and have it match up with everyone else that they have going in the DC universe. So it was really nice that they took cues from his classic design and kind of really made it their own.
Yeah, and he looks great. And
he does look great.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, purely superficially, he looks great. And I'm not a huge Aquaman fan, I think I've mentioned that before, but I'm a big fan of him, so I like the direction that this is going so far, and I'm excited to see what happens with it. As you said, they've obviously been paying a lot of attention to detail, so that is very, very encouraging. And some casting news now. Marina Baccarin has been cast as the female lead in Deadpool. Are you a Firefly fan? Have we ever talked about this?
I love Firefly.
I was like, Inara is in Deadpool? What? It's amazing. Yeah. Meanwhile, she looks exactly the same. She has not aged. That is, I can't deal with this. That was like at least 10 years ago. She's amazing. What is she doing? Anyway, I mean, aside from that, like, this is exciting. I really like her. And we had another little bit of Deadpool news this week with Gina Carano. Is that how you say her name?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, who joined the film as well. And it's going to be an origin story. Surprise, surprise. So everyone continues to be insanely excited for Deadpool. I feel like I speak for the world when I say that. Accurate?
I do hope that this means, though, that if this is going to be a Deadpool origin movie, that it's going to kind of go, that thing that happened in Wolverine Origins? Yeah, that's not a thing anymore.
Well, they've done the whole, like, reboot, whatever, so I feel like they can at this point say, oh, no, you know that thing when Wolverine went back in time? Yeah, totally changed everything that happened. Yeah, in the history of the X-Men universe, like, regardless of at what point it occurred. You know, I think that's kind of their card at this point. Or maybe they just don't acknowledge it, like most of us don't acknowledge that film exists.
Except for when you rewatch it.
Right, but only for Twitter purposes. Yeah. Okay, what else have we got going on? Let's see. Bryan Singer has said that Nightcrawler is coming back in X-Men Apocalypse. Sophie Turner gave an interview about her role in X-Men, as we talked about last week. She'd just been cast in that. She called Jean Grey Dark Sansa, which I thought was an interesting comparison. We'll see how that goes. And Ben Hardy has joined X-Men Apocalypse. Also, what has he been in? I don't know. But lots of casting has been happening over there. So we're going to see the young versions of, like, every character we've ever encountered, which is exciting and also slightly concerning, I guess, because there was a tendency in Days of Future Past to be like, and now this character is here, and oh, we don't have time for plot because we need to have this character in here. So
I'm kind of getting an X-Men Evolution kind of vibe from this, which was like pretty much every single one of, like, the X-Men characters as, like, teenagers and at high school. So I'm kind of digging this a little bit because I really loved X-Men Evolution. I don't know if that's guilty pleasure or not, but I'll let myself
that is
anyway.
Not guilty pleasure. Who does not love that? I've talked, you know, widely about my weird and devoted love to the X-Men. Okay, and then Jared Leto gave an interview about playing the Joker in Suicide Squad. Like, nothing very exciting. Talking about his weight gain, weight loss. Weight gain. So, I don't know, good job to him. And then there was a weirdly photoshopped Avengers Age of Ultron poster that came out recently. And then there was also the character poster for Iron Man and for the Hulk is there too, I see. I hadn't seen that one yet.
Yeah, so that one came out, like, I think it was today.
Yeah,
that one came out, so it looks like they're releasing one every day. Obligatory, I want my Hawkeye poster.
yeah we know. And Robert Downey Jr. also said there is a big announcement coming. So that will be on the 5th of March. Don't know what that will be, but, you know, whatever. Something to do with Spider-Man, maybe? Probably, because everything's to do with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for movie news. Let's jump over to our quotes of the week.
Oh my God, you ever showed up, pal?
No, not when I'm awake.
Do you want to go first? I was going to pick an Agent Carter one, but then I was like, you know what? I would bet all of my possessions that Dee will pick an Agent Carter one, so I would choose something else.
And you bet your money correctly, because I absolutely chose a Peggy Carter quote. So the one that I chose was when they're interrogating Peggy, and they're asking her, like, kind of how she managed to get away with it and what she was thinking and why she even did it in the first place. And she kind of just comes back with, I conducted my own investigation because no one listens to me. I got away with it because no one looks at me. Because unless I have your reports, your coffee, or your lunch, I'm invisible. Yeah.
Accurate. She had some great quotes this week as well. She had that really good one about where she says, I know my value, which I enjoyed a lot. Although, you know, I mean, we're not going to get into, like, big discussion on like, entrenched sexism and stuff. That's great if you know your value, Peg. Like, society also needs to know your value, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. I had to give my quote to another badass who I'm just loving at the moment, Miss Thea Queen. She has... Yeah, I wasn't a fan of, as we know, like, what they did with her storyline, but man, are they redeeming it now, because I love her so much, and I love this new, like, Thea knows what's going on and makes decisions about her own life arc that they've given her, so that's great. And I also like the sass that she gives Oliver, because, you know, no one should really pay attention to what Oliver is doing, because he needs to sort some things out. So I gave it to Thea for this week when she asks, are you really quoting Malcolm Mellon to me right now? Very good question, Thea. Why are you taking advice from the madman? All right, that's it for Quotes of the Week. Tell us your favorite quotes from this week or last week. And, you know, you can let us know on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast or in the comments on this podcast post on hyperbull.com. And we're going to get into some feedback from you that we have got from those places. But before we do, it's time for Comic Corner with more Lady Love. This is when we give you comic book recommendations to get started in the world of comics, because it can be a little overwhelming. So don't worry, we are here to help.
Sky, Trip, get ready for a large file transfer.
A large.
And this week, it's all about She-Hulk.
So, I have got a few trades again for you guys to pick up if you are interested in learning about She-Hulk, as she is going to be one of the main characters leading the A-Force when it comes very, very soon, in fact. So, the first one I've got is called Essential Savage She-Hulk. For She-Hulk's origins, this is the place to start. Jennifer Walters receives her She-Hulk powers after receiving a blood transfusion from her cousin Bruce Banner, and this trade collects the entire 25-issue run of this series, and it's interesting to watch her growth as a character as she breaks away from mirroring the origins of the original Hulk. The second one I've got is She-Hulk Volume 1, Single Green Female. This is Dan Slott's run on She-Hulk, which begins with this volume, and it forges a new path for Jennifer Walters. It sees her going in and out of her She-Hulk persona whilst trying to carry her job as a lawyer who represents superhuman clients. It has a really strong story at the foundation of it, and it's really a run that you can't miss for She-Hulk. The next one I've got is Sensational She-Hulk Volume 1. And for anyone wanting to know more about She-Hulk, this is a must-buy. John Byrne pushes She-Hulk's character, She-Hulk character-wise into a different place and away from the stereotypical, like, Hulk rampaging. He even breaks the fourth wall at one point and goes decidedly wacky. All in all, it's a fun romp through the pages and one you'll find yourself coming back to a lot. And the last one that I've got is called She-Hulk Ceremony. This is a 2-issue series and can be a little bit more difficult to find, but it's a fantastic story if you're interested in Jennifer. This follows She-Hulk as she attempts to revive her relationship with Wyatt Wingfoot and have a baby. And it has some really hard-hitting stuff too, including her preventing the bombing of an abortion clinic, but it's well worth tracking down if you can find it.
All right. That's everything to get you started in the world of She-Hulk. And now, it's time for feedback. Last time we asked you, if you could change up the Phase 3 order, which movies would you like to see first? And you guys had some great answers for us. Did you want to take that first one?
Yeah. So, Cassie, wonderful, wonderful Cassie, says they wanted Cap 3, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Captain Marvel, Inhumans, Infinity War 1, Black Panther, Thor 3, Infinity War 2, and do we want to bleep this out? F Spider-Man.
So no Spider-Man movie as far as Cassie is concerned.
Yeah.
Amelia said, Captain Marvel, assuming there's no Black Widow or Iron Man 4, don't hate me, but I'd like to put Cap 3 lower on the list. Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I don't know. I'm kind of starting to get a little worried about Cap 3, if only because they're trying to put so many characters in. So, but, you know, I'm holding out. Ravenclaw 1991 says, I'm most excited for Thor Ragnarok, Captain Marvel, and Black Panther. So if there was some way to give us those three first, I'd be all for it. Civil War I'm growing more scared of because I'm scared it'll be a mess. That's... Yeah, it was kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but at the same time, I have to be excited because it's a Cap movie, you know? Yeah. Like, even if it's less Cap than I would like because there are a million other characters in it, it's still more Cap than without any movie, so...
Yeah,
I would take it. Okay, and the winner of this competition, that was not a competition until I read this one, is, yeah. is Cerulean Snidget, who gave us the entire lineup. And I think this is basically perfect. So we start off with Avengers Age of Ultron, then Agent Carter the movie with a cameo appearance by Ant-Man, because honestly, does Ant-Man really need more than a cameo? Then Black Widow, subtitle A Good Way Not to Die, followed by Inhumans, aka we didn't think it was a good idea to wait 5 years after the Inhumans reveal on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to have an Inhumans movie. Very good point. Then we have Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Drax comes out, followed by Captain America Civil War, starring anyone but Benedict as Doctor Strange. Then Lady Sif, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Black Widow and Hawkeye, What Happened in Budapest, including introducing Kate Bishop as Hulk Gal, or, you know, just Hawkeye as well.
Just Hawkeye.
Yeah. And then we have Avengers Infinity War, the 4-hour-long Marvel extravaganza. And then all the way in 2019, Spider-Man Returns, aka It's Still Too Soon. So thank you for the continuous entertainment that provided. Yeah, Donya is literally applauding. I hope that picks up on the, picks up on the recording. So yes, that was fantastic. And thank you guys so much for all of your great answers to that question. That really got people thinking, and I like the different approaches that you took.
I just love the little subtitles that Cerulean Snidget had. That was the bit that made it for me.
Yeah, and we also had some suggestions, like we asked for at the top of the show, for some other things you'd like us to do for Hero Hype Rewatch.
Yeah, so Shelby says, maybe you should Hero Hype Rewatch First Class and relive the pain of Charles being betrayed, paralyzed, and betrayed again.
Accurate summary.
And then, again, Cerulean Snidget was, how about a Daredevil rewatch before the Netflix series releases? Because apparently you don't like me very much.
Yeah, that's mean. Why would you suggest that?
Yeah. But again, you know, I did say at the start of this episode, anything goes, it can go as bad as we want.
That's true. We didn't think it could get worse than Wolverine Origins because we forgot that the Daredevil movie existed. So have fun with that. I will look forward to it. Oh, yeah. Classic. Okay. And we had we asked you last time if you enjoy Hero Hype, and if you've listened this long, we would really appreciate if you could leave us a review and a rating on iTunes. It just helps other people who are just as nerdy and excited about comic books as us to find the show. And we had one really nice review here from Kate, who said in the the title of this review is I Shall Let the Team Down No Longer. And Kate says, this is probably my favorite podcast, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. Love the lady talk and hearing about diverse superheroes or lack thereof. Anytime I hear something about Peggy Carter, I'm one happy lady. This show keeps me informed about the massive Marvel movies coming out and makes me sound smart at dinner parties. I love hearing about comics from the point of view of women for a change. Interesting topics with intelligent opinions. Keep up the good work. So thanks, Kate. And if you want to leave a review, we will read it out on the show next time. And yeah, just let us know. Actually, let us know if you leave a review in a like strange country that we are not a member of, because as you may know, we can only see the ones from our country. So please, everyone, go into the Australian store and comfort me by leaving a review there. I would really appreciate that. That's it for Hero Hype this week. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. You can leave a comment on this episode on hypeboard.com. And, you know, just tweet us during the week. Let us know what you're thinking, what you're up to, what you're watching. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another podcast. And our question of the week to leave you with, what have you got for us this time, Donya?
So this week I have for us, which version of Spider-Man would you like to see? Miles Morales or Peter Parker?
All right, so we will leave you with that. I feel like I know which way the answers are going to go with that, but hey, maybe people will surprise us.
Throw in a curveball.
Yeah.
How about a person of color, Peter Parker?
How about a write-in campaign for anyone else? Just answer. You don't
Spider
stick to the.
Gwen.
Yeah.
Spider Gwen.
I mean, I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, do a write-in campaign, please. That's the answer that we're looking for.
Yeah.
So we'll be back with your responses to that question and our thoughts on all of the news in the world of superheroes next time. Until then, I'm Marima.
And I'm Donya.
Bye.
Bye.